Yours, mine, and ours. My name is Gabrielle Cardona. I've been an MBTI practitioner and success coach for 15 years. I'm your host today. And over time, I went from life coach to communication coach because no matter what goal my clients originally came to me with, everything involved reaching that goal. It included getting help with a struggle they were having with someone important in their life. It was just part of the puzzle. No matter what the nature of their relationship, success was dependent on effective communication. Effective communication is the key to conflict resolution. That requires insight and understanding. I enjoy teaching people how to understand others and relate to them in a better, more successful way. This show is about becoming a better person that's better equipped to create better relationships. Because a relationship is about three elements. That includes the two individuals that it's comprised of, as well as the entity that they create when they come together as one. Every relationship has a yours, mine, and ours. Today we're going to be talking in greater detail about what makes someone higher quality. When you are a high quality, you don't need excessive amounts in life in order to be fulfilled and happy. You don't need a lot of quantity. But let's start with the very basics of quality versus quantity. Now, the world that we live in has become obsessed with the faulty reasoning that in every circumstance and situation, more is better. If it feels good, do it more. If it tastes good, consume it more. If it looks good, have it more. More amounts, more frequency, more intensity. The only problem with that reasoning? It's not healthy. Nature is about a very powerful force that affects everyone and everything in the world, the force of balance. The moment something becomes excessive in quality or intensity, quantity, nature has a way of resisting and fighting back in order to restore the healthy balance. Sir Isaac Newton's third law says every action has an equal and opposite reaction. So let's just think about that. Keep that in mind as we go through the concept of quality versus quantity. Consequences can be pretty painful depending on the impact of the initial action that caused a reaction. Getting things back to the way they should be is extremely important in order to keep the world and the people in it running smoothly. When it comes to some things, the principle can get confusing and complicated because it's vital to function, right, in the world, but things can become excessive, easily excessive, like money. The things truly necessary in life that actually require money are few and far between. Food, clothing, shelter, everything else that requires money is icing on the cake. Now, think about that. Let's just take a step back here. Food, clothing, and shelter, they all cost money. Everything else is kind of just icing on the cake. Now ask yourself, how many things in your daily activity demand activity or labor that you absolutely have to have material things in order to do? They would literally be impossible for you to do these things without material objects. How many of those things that are impossible to do without excessive materials are the things that truly determine the quality of your life? Think about the things that make you happiest in life. Can those things be bought with more money? Now, that's the foundation of capitalism. It's a philosophy that money in large amounts is the backbone of a successful group of people as a society. Profit, the money is in excess of covering the expenses. The capitalism definition is an economic and political system in which trade and industry are controlled by private owners for profit rather than by the government. It's basically being free to make and manage your own money, no limits. Now, one example of what capitalism, the no limit to the amount of money you can have, make, and spend, has done something to people's lives. It's lowered the standards of what people are providing for the money that they spend and invest. Okay, let's think about a couple of these things that everybody would immediately agree about. Okay, the quality of our food has gone down because we want to spare the expense. that's in restaurants, that's in grocery stores, that's pretty much everywhere. In order to spare the expense, we kind of cut corners on the quality of our food. Well, in order to kind of compensate, right, for that, serving sizes have gone up to make it worth it. Consumption has now skyrocketed in general. Well, that means that organic foods, the really healthy quality foods, are more expensive, and not a lot of people can afford that. So then, by extension, we're becoming sick, which affects our mood and our performance in other ways. We always want to have enough. We just can't have enough. What is enough? The modern world has now material abundance as its primary motivation. Ethics and morals about how others will be affected by the things that are said and done in order to generate more money quickly become irrelevant. People are seldom given all of the facts about what comes or doesn't come with the things being sold that seem so appealing and pleasurable. Things are often portrayed as necessary. The people selling them describe them as vital for a good life. Not only will your life be better with those things, it will actually be worse without them. If you have convinced yourself that material prosperity and financial abundance will compensate for deficiencies in other areas of your life, you're more likely to compromise your personal values and do things that you ordinarily would not do in ways you ordinarily would not. You may even pursue things that you know are unethical and knowingly settle for things that are harmful to yourself and others. But then after obtaining these things, true happiness seldom follows. You may begin to even question yourself, wondering things like, what's wrong with me? I thought I would be happy. Shouldn't I be happy right now? Why is this not making me happy? Why do other people who have and do these things look like they're enjoying themselves, but I'm not? Why do people who own these things and accomplish these things say they're happy, but I'm not? Is there something wrong with me? Well, let's talk about today quality instead of quantity. Quality time is more fulfilling, so you don't need as much. 5 minutes of golden is better than 50 minutes of plastic interaction, right? When we don't get good stuff, we inevitably need more to feel better. Well, one of the things that that's true of is communication. Communication demands time. It's not about money. It's about effort. How quickly do people give up doing that kind of work? Is it even worth it, right, to invest the time, the return on investment? Well, can you even quantify something like that? Well, another big part is sleep. It's a huge issue. Quality and quantity matter. There's four different levels of sleep. You need to get 8 hours of it a night. It's very important to be able to say, yes, I got enough, right? And I got the good kind. Relaxation is often not high quality restfulness. Some people, it's work just to calm down. We talked about that last week. It's really tough for some people just to relax. So something that I do with my clients for them is called the Stranded Island Exercise. What would make you truly happy? Well, I call it the Stranded Island Fantasy Project. It's a kind of a version of the $1 million question, but I do it in a different way. Okay. There's a generic question that sometimes is asked to help people determine their true nature or their calling in life. It's designed to remove anxiety and provide the freedom to think and feel everything that may naturally happen, right? Thoughts and feelings inside of someone. It is, after all, only when people are free from anxiety that they can be truly honest with themselves and then with others. So it's a very liberating experience. The question is, if you had $1 million, what would you do? Wow, that's a great question. This question seems like a seemingly safe way to ask yourself, what would make me really happy? How would I spend my life and my time if I didn't need to worry about money? If paying the bills and taking care of my physical needs and financial responsibilities were no longer a concern, really a genuine anxiety, then my concern around making ends meet would be gone. What would I do then? with my time and energy? The only problem with this question is that it reinforces the belief that the most powerful motivation of people is their survival, maximizing and propelling their inherent fear. When it has money involved, there's an underlying fear, because it implies that their material responsibilities and demands are what they fundamentally care about most in life, or that it's good to have money to buy things that you simply want, but that might not actually be good for you. This is not helpful when someone is trying to become more happy and more fulfilled as a person. Now, social influences, in addition to physical ones, would be very affected by the money and possessions that you have that you are obtaining with this $1 million. And as long as money still exists in this hypothetical scenario, you will still be vulnerable to the influence of your social environment. Okay, so for now, let's actually remove all external influences that affect the decisions you make. Taking it one step further, let's say someone like a fairy godmother took you away from the physical world that you currently live in and brought you away to an island, a fantasy island, and the two of you were all alone. Imagine it as a beautiful place that has everything you love, including your favorite foods and land, scenery, animals. You have everything you want around you in a paradise according to what you consider paradise to be. The best part of this world is that you can wish for anything and your fairy godmother will literally just make it suddenly happen, appearing out of nowhere. But the miracles here happen only under one condition. They required happiness juice that was created only by positive energy inside of you. You would need to acquire the things you're asking for with your own high-quality emotional energy. So this means it's a symbiotic process, and it is perpetually in motion, always going on. To create the happiness juice, you would need to do things and create experiences that make you genuinely happy. The more internal peace and happiness you have, the more you'd be able to expand your paradise on this island. Then, the greater the paradise, the more peace and happiness you would feel. Money never had to exist. It never had any value in this place because it didn't factor in anything. It could be any kind of environment with all of the people you love around you. It could contain the elements of daily life that bring you the most personal pleasure and satisfaction. Different kinds of entertainment and sensory experiences to create happiness within you were everywhere around. In fact, money just simply doesn't exist because, again, it serves no purpose, and you could constantly generate things that you want and need simply with your positive energy and happiness. So you could go back into the other world of society, the one that you currently live in, anytime you wanted to, if you ever wanted to, and the other island that you are creating would stay there waiting patiently for you to come back anytime you felt the need or desire to do so. If that was the case, what anxiety would being in society ever give you? The peace of mind to create the best of the best of who you are and what you have in that world means that there would be no limit and no end to your personal happiness. Your island is perfect. It's a world to escape back to when you need a break to refill your soul from the world you currently live in. What would your island be like? Here are some questions to ask yourself. Who would be there with you if it could be anyone? What would you eat if it could be anything? What would you do or have for entertainment and relaxation if it could be anything? What would you wear or not wear if it could be anything? How often would you rest if you didn't have to worry about things like time? How often would you go back into the other world with its challenges and struggles, and how long would you stay there before you needed to return to your island? Now, some people actually have a hard time with this exercise because they've never personally contemplated such questions. They have never been given permission, freedom, or opportunity to think about these things and imagine feeling this way to their own satisfaction. It may be necessary to take a break and come back to this, try it again later. But the more you try, the more comfortable entertaining the questions will become for you. Little by little, your body and mind will reveal more and more to you because your defenses will slowly begin to come down. The point of this exercise is to help you not only be more aware of how you truly think and feel, but also of what you genuinely want and need. It gives you a chance to contemplate the very best of what life has to offer. If you were able to remove all fear and anger and frustration and anxiety that inhibits you currently in your life, what would you do? We're going to take a commercial break now. When we come back, we're going to open up the lines to callers because we're going to talk about how even good things, when excessive in quantity, can become poor in quality, and that makes them destructive. This is yours, mine, and ours. I'm Gabrielle Cardona. We'll be right back.
BBS Radio.com.
Welcome back to Yours, Mine, and Ours. We're opening up the lines to callers. The number to the show is 888-627-6008. We're talking today about quality versus quantity. They are two separate concepts, and they can be confusing. It can be confusing when it comes to life because life and the world can make happiness hard to define in the first place. And it's even harder to create and maintain that happiness in life. But when you are a higher quality individual, you don't have or do or be as much because you are more satisfied and fulfilled. Your life will become simpler, that will make it easier, and that is what will make you happier. But let's take a closer look at that now, just as a concept. Even high quality human characteristics, when they are excessive in quantity, can become destructive. What are a few examples of that? Well, it would be like the example of telling the truth. A good thing to be is honest. A bad thing to be is brutal. Telling the truth, they're both telling the truth. One is excessive in quantity, the other one is balanced. Well, how about feeling good about yourself? Well, the difference is confidence and arrogance. Okay, how about using force? You can be strong or you can be abusive. Maintaining consistency. That's organized or it could be controlling. Thinking about something for an extended period of time is thoughtful. When it becomes excessive, it's obsessive. A willingness to adjust is flexibility, but in too much, it's insecurity. Relaxing is fun, but if you relax too much, that's actually irresponsible. And my favorite, not being swayed by emotions when in good, healthy balance is objective. When you take it to an extreme, it's heartless. This is again about quality, but let's put a question out there for listeners. Do you genuinely believe that if you did things to become the best possible version of yourself, you would make the world a significantly better place? That what you do for your environment and the people around you, if you were in a condition described in the Stranded Island test, that you being the best that you could be, do you think that would be amazing? Or do you think that even in the best possible setting, in the best possible state, you're really not anything impressive? That's the key question. And sometimes it's tough to answer. Some of the people that I work with, some of the people that I'm related to, they genuinely don't think that even in the best possible state that they could be and do, they're still not anything impressive. Okay, so now I wanted to share something that I discussed recently that will help stimulate your thoughts and feelings, not only about yourself, but about others as well. The difference between high quality and low quality behavior. Okay, we don't necessarily have to be analytical about ourselves the whole time. Let's just look at what people do. I made a statement, and I'm sure this is going to get a lot of people thinking a lot of different things. No healthy and mature woman can truly be sexually harassed. We were talking about sexual harassment, and I said, no healthy and mature woman can truly be sexually harassed. And he said, what? What are you talking about? That's not true. I've seen it happen. It happens all the time, unfortunately. It's just the world we live in. Well, by the end of our conversation, he made the concession. Why would I say that a healthy and mature woman can never be sexually harassed? For three reasons, and this is about quality. Again, think about this. The first rule, the first bottom line in truth is a woman always has inherently more power than a man in a sexual way. The second one is harassment is about how you feel, and you can always choose to feel any way you want to feel. And the third one, only weak men sexually harass women. If a man is weak enough as a soul to truly sexually harass, that means he's weak. That means he's actually easily stoppable, and the woman just needs to know the tricks to stop him. Okay, so starting with the first one, a woman always has inherently more power than a man in a sexual way. What is a man's greatest weakness? Women, period. We, and by that I mean us girls, we all know that every man's greatest weakness is women. Now, we might not have the same physical strengths in a raw way at all times as men. We might not always have the social power in certain settings as men, or we might not always have the same political influence on paper. That's not as true anymore. Or we might not always have the same emotional resiliency at certain times. Okay, that's not always true either. But we might not always have the same mental fortitude of a certain kind because of our biochemistry. But keep that in mind. All of those things, a chain is only as strong as its weakest link. And every man's weakest link, a woman. The problem is that too many women simply just don't know that. A high quality woman really does have power. And they don't understand that no matter what a man can do when he's alone or when he's with other men, he becomes incapable of if and or when a woman inflicts her wiles upon him. A man only has enough blood for one head at a time. Now, we all know this already, don't we, ladies? Let's be honest. Then the actual definition of harassment, according to Webster's Dictionary, is aggressive pressure or intimidation. This doesn't specify any particular words or behavior displayed by an individual. It's a subjective feeling. Aggressive pressure or intimidation is about the person receiving the treatment, how they feel. Some specific thing that may be very intimidating to me would make my older sister laugh out loud. She wasn't intimidated by that. And what my husband would think of as an act of aggression, to me, it just looks like a desperate cry for attention. It's all in the eye of the beholder. A woman can choose how she decides to interpret a man's behavior. That means that any woman who is truly confident in herself can choose to feel however she wants about anything that anybody does, anything that was said or done, and she can choose to feel however she wants about the person who is saying it or doing it. Then she can choose what she wants to do about it. If there is something truly wrong with what was said or done, then do something about it. Feelings do exist in nature, but for the purpose of giving you the energy to motivate you to action. That's what's empowering. It's all about how well you are able to wield your power. You do have it. How do you use it? Which, the third point, only weak men would ever do something like sexually harass a woman. Inappropriate behavior is only displayed by inappropriate people. True men with dignity and honor and class don't ever need to inflict pseudo-power in a destructive way because they don't need to prove to themselves or women or anybody watching that they have an ability to do something. They clearly don't have that ability if they're sexually harassing you, because if they did, they would use that power in a more impressive and constructive and productive way. Predators are impotent, low-quality individuals who only attempt to overpower weak women, what they think of as low-quality women, because they know that certain women just aren't going to fight back. If those men had genuine power as a manifestation of true strength, first of all, they wouldn't be predatory. High quality would never behave in that way. Second, they would be comfortable with a true matching of wits with a high quality woman. They would even enjoy it. A woman who is confident is fun to be around. Men enjoy that. And in courtship, which is the actual pursuit of a real relationship, not just a chance to get into bed with someone, in a real courtship, a real man is attracted to a classy and quality woman, one who's smart and fun, as well as confident and yet still humble. Yes, you can be all of those things at the same time, contrary to American popular opinion, because if you are a confident woman, high quality woman, a man is going to know that there's no point in trying to overpower you because you will never choose to make that concession to him. But if a man said or did something that was sexually aggressive or intimidating just because he's genuinely a pig and not a real man like the one I've described, all a woman would have to do is three things. Three simple but not always easy things. What are those things? Well, first of all, look at him the same way you would look at a five-year-old trying to hide the ice cream from their parents under their covers. Look at it and say, "You're not serious, are you?" with amusement and disbelief. Laugh directly in the man's face when he tries to do something inappropriate. This shows that you're not going to let what he does affect you in any legitimately powerful way. He's trying to manipulate you emotionally in order to get you to respond physically. Well, look at him like he's a five-year-old doing something stupid, and you just can't believe it. Now, if he responded aggressively to that behavior, right, what you just did, if he responded aggressively to you, just calmly say, "Wow, you're really freaking out right now, aren't you?" Because that would maintain you still have the power, and you know that he knows that you know that you still have the power. And look directly at his face as you look him in the eye, the same way you would when someone loved you. They told you that you had cancer, that they had cancer. Sometimes you just need to get very calm and very serious, look them straight in the eye, and deal with reality. Then if he still kept going, which trust me, by this point he wouldn't, because your behavior would immediately repel a low-quality man who tried to do it in the first place, you would obviously say, "You're wasting your time trying to do this." But let's just say, for the sake of argument, if you still kept going, say, "You know what? It's okay. I understand you're having a hard time, and I won't hold it against you. And don't worry, I won't tell anyone what you've done. It'll just be our little secret." And then walk away. You have established that you have the power and the confidence and the personal peace. He can never take that away from you, no matter how hard he tries. You have just castrated him emotionally. No one can take your power away or make you feel any way you don't want. And then the bottom line, you wouldn't want to work with or be around a man like that anyway. Even if you won, let's say, a lawsuit that you did, that you would take time and money and invest in that, you wouldn't want to continue in a personal power struggle with someone like that because they are, again, low quality. You want to invite healthy people into your world, create positive energy in your life that would make you a higher quality person and stop experiences like sexual harassment from even happening to you in the first place. So in that situation, you know what? Just get another job. I promise you there's something much better out there. If you genuinely think that you are worth it, you won't have any problem getting another job, a much better job. But if you don't think you're worth it, you have some lingering doubt within yourself, that's when you need to get personal help. Help from a professional, and that's got nothing to do with a man or what he did. That's about you asking yourself, am I high quality? Which brings me to my final point. Too many people here in this country are just looking for a fight, especially when it's for attention or money. I don't think that most of the men who are accused of sexual harassment have actually done something predatory. They've just irritated a woman and she doesn't know how to effectively communicate what she's thinking and feeling in order to resolve an issue that has genuinely come up. Now, when a woman is not healthy and happy and strong, she actually interprets things in a negative and weak and destructive way. Even if the man hasn't said or done anything inappropriate, if she is not in a high quality state, she could take an experience that she had and interpret it in a low quality way. Now, that's just as much her responsibility as it is his. And it's very much her problem because what it indicates is going on inside of her. A truly quality person doesn't need to fight. They are confident that they know the truth. And they maintain their truth with confidence, but not arrogance, as we've established. They are open to others without anger or aggression. And they lay down boundaries and maintain them without having to push back when someone challenges the validity of those boundaries and standards. Feminism has created the illusion that women are equal to men. But the contradiction is then they still want to be treated like a woman. You're equal to a man. I can do exactly what you do. I can do it as well as you. I can have everything you have. But treat me like a woman. Well, you know what? Men are very simple creatures, and you can't really have it both ways, can you? And then, even worse, women want men to be like women, right? With this whole equality thing, women want to be treated like a man, and then they want men to want to be treated like a woman. They won't, ever. And when you try to pressure them into being like a woman, you're going to create one of two problems, reducing, again, the quality of your relationship and ultimately of your life. The man is either going to be a man who doesn't have the confidence to say no to you, or one who will simply concede to shut you up and then be very angry and irritated and resentful of you when he does make that concession. He's not going to stay around for very long. Think about relationships. They're about three things: two people and what they create when they come together. A high quality man treats a woman with respect and honor and appreciation, and he doesn't need to be forced or intimidated into doing that. He doesn't demean or insult or undermine a woman. He appreciates her confidence and has no problem giving her personal independence without having to micromanage her because he trusts her. He is personally confident, so he knows that he deserves a high quality woman and he will find one. If a woman ever does do something inappropriate or immature or selfish, he'll discuss it with her. If it doesn't get fixed, he will leave her. And she will know up front that that's the kind of man he is. And she will be okay with it. Certain things are just not negotiable in a relationship, like how he deserves honor and respect and consideration the exact same way that she does, in every way, at all times, from each other. They both do. So how can you become a higher quality soul? We're going to take another break. When we come back to yours, mine, and ours, we'll open up the lines, invite again callers. We're going to talk about how to become a higher quality soul, the different things that I'm going to suggest that's going to have probably some interest for people all around the world because they apply universally. We'll be right back with yours, mine, and ours.
BBSRadio.com.
Welcome back to yours, mine, and ours. I'm your host, Gabrielle Cardona. Now, the number to the show here is 888-627-6008. We're opening up the lines to callers because we're going to be talking about quality versus quantity, how you can become a higher quality person in your own life and in the world. Well, one of the activities that I do with my clients is a shot in the arm, making you a higher quality soul. Now, a shot in the arm is something that people inject when they need energy and strength in order to keep going. It has an immediate effect because it goes directly into the bloodstream. It's very helpful to have when you're struggling and you need help just to continue. In the process of working to become a better person, you will inevitably have internal and external challenges that will drain you. They will demand your energy, which is your mental and physical and your emotional energy. Your personal struggles and issues can take a lot of work for you to manage, just separate from your daily activities in life. And your physical environment can be overwhelming if you live in less than ideal conditions. Various social situations can manifest other people's personal issues that you might not personally be equipped to effectively handle. That can create some stress at times. So taking care of yourself in this way will help make your focus completely from anyone and anything negative in your life that you're currently feeling exhausted by, that'll take you into a better place to help you get personally re-centered. So restoring your energy, focus, and stability in this way will help you to become a more healthy and productive version of yourself, at which time you can then go back to whatever you were doing before. Now, I have rules for energizing. There are 10 different rules here. Now, keep this in mind or write them down if you want. Rules for your activities, a shot in the arm activity. The first one is keep any objects that will be used in these activities in a place or circumstance where you can have immediate access to them. Keep in mind your daily life. Where would you be able to put the things that you might need for your activities that would keep them easily accessible to you? Number two, do not use any activity or object more than twice per day. This is because if you do any activity more than twice per day, you could actually become addicted to it, using it as your crutch rather than just an assistance, a help. It could end up being your downfall. Number three, do not spend more than 10 minutes doing any activity unless it's pre-scheduled and unless that is the definition of the activity. It necessitates more than 10 minutes because restoring yourself really should only be a very brief experience. Number four, do not spend more than 50% of your hourly pay rate to purchase anything needed for that activity. If you do spend more than that, it no longer qualifies as this level of activity. It has become something else for you. So whatever you make per hour at your job, 50% of that is the limit for what you can spend on a shot in the arm kind of activity. Number five, do not place any demand or pressure on any other people without their prior knowledge and consent. They need to feel prepared if at any point you ask them for participation, suddenly saying, you know what, I really would like your help with this. They need to know that you might come to them with that request well before the situation has presented itself. Number six, do not consume more than the equivalency of 10% of your total daily caloric intake. That means you need to know, first of all, what's healthy for you in the way of food that you consume, what is a healthy boundary for you, not more than 10% of your daily intake. Number seven, they must be powerful and effective enough to improve your overall condition by at least 33% when you are done. So you need to be aware of your condition emotionally, mentally, and physically before you do these activities, and then know for a fact that by at least 33% when you're done, you have improved. Number eight, they need to be predetermined, specific activities corresponding to very specific circumstances so that little or no thought is necessary in the moment that you are selecting which one you need. If you have certain activities in certain situations when certain things happen already established, understood, and determined, you will not need to think or decide what you are going to do in the moment that you really do need that shot in the arm. Number 9, you must completely mentally separate and emotionally detach from anything negative that is currently in your environment going on around you so that you will be fully engrossed in the positive activity you are doing. When you have things going on around you, sometimes you can't physically remove yourself from that environment. Learning how to separate and detach from your environment in order to be 100% taking care of yourself when you give yourself a shot in the arm is what will make you a higher quality individual. And then, this is a tough one, this is key. Number 10, you must immediately deal with the issue or problem that generated the initial need for a shot in the arm within you. When you're done, you need to deal with whatever triggered that need. Now, these are different things that when you are going through your life, kind of taking an inventory, what are the things that I genuinely need help with when they go on, something that I need a shot in the arm just to deal with this particular thing. Okay, yeah, it could be when this particular person shows up or when I hear a certain word or a certain kind of interaction happens around me. Maybe it's an object in my life. Are there genuinely things that happen around me or to me or with me that I need to take better care of myself, because when I do take care of myself, I do become a better quality person. The things that I do then improve, and the people around me, from being around me while I am high quality, they become better as well, just from being with me while I'm taking good care of myself. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and just tell you some of the things that I've told my clients and some of the things that I use as well. Examples of energizing, good quality activity, shot in the arm activities. One of them is listening to enjoyable music. We're very affected by the things that we hear. Music affects everybody very differently, but it can be good or bad. Right? They can provoke good or bad feelings inside of us. Do you know what music really is good for you? What makes you feel better? What puts you into a better state? Pick out some songs and make sure, again, we keep them to under 10 minutes, that you could say to a person in a situation, you know what? I'm going to be right back in 5 to 10 minutes. The person, if they know that you just need to become a higher quality person, version of you, they would be willing to let you take that time. Another one is reading affirmations. Now, what are the rules of affirmations? First of all, you need to very clearly state them, complete sentences, have them written down so that you can look at them and just say them out loud. They need to be stated in the present, indicative, positive way. And the nice thing is, if you read the list, a good, 10, 15 individual sentences, different statements. If you read the list several times, you don't even necessarily have to be thinking about what you're saying. You will immediately start to believe. Your brain will start to believe the things that it's hearing you say. Another one that's very similar, but actually tweaked a little differently, it's a stream of consciousness thinking out loud. Well, what is that? Well, our mind jumps from one thing to another, to another, to another. So I'll give you an example right now. I'm looking here at the wall, and I really don't understand why that thermostat has the numbers that way, because we have the numbers on the wall that way. But the numbers when I'm driving and the speed limit, can you believe they changed the speed limit in the city of Seattle? And then they have this stupid thing where it says the speed limit with children in the area. Well, you know what? But children, are they homeschool now? And you know what? I never homeschool my kid, because that's just a ridiculous thing to do. And you know what's really ridiculous is the way my sister-in-law makes her tamales. She thinks that if she adds more oil, but you know what? The oil isn't even that. Okay. Stream of consciousness. The nice thing about that is that the more things that come into your head and the more your thoughts change, at some point you might actually get an epiphany, an aha moment of, wow, I didn't even think about that. That's something that I was wondering about 3 days ago that actually affected a job choice that I made that But this is what it's really about. Stream of consciousness, but again, keep it in under 10 minutes. Number four, the one that I really like too, is a healthy snack in a single serving. Now, what's a healthy snack? We all know what's healthy and what's not healthy. But even if it is a little bit of a splurge, a single serving is the important part. Quantity, again, we're talking high quality, moderate in quantity. Because that will restore you. If the problem is a physical problem, that will restore you enough to keep going. But it doesn't have to be an entire meal because that takes too much time. Another one, affection. Now, we all need affection. Things like hugs and kisses, touches from dearly loved ones. Who really for you is important? Who is the most important person in your life that you feel very strongly about? In your home, in your work environment, in your social daily life? What kind of people in your life would you feel comfortable giving that kind of affection to? Physical touch, hugs, and kisses. I bet you might actually be surprised if you just kind of took a little inventory and asked the people that you suspect really do love you, and you said to them, how comfortable are you with me when I touch you and when I hug you and when I kiss you? Know which people in your life are the most okay with that kind of interaction and the times that you really do need it to restore yourself back to high quality. Take that, accept that, and even ask for that kind of interaction. Okay, now another one is sensory stimulation that generates an emotional response, like smelling someone's hair or body, looking at something that really does give you peace. We have five senses, and they're stimulated in many different ways. We talked about the music, right? We have touch. We have pictures. We have the tasting, right? All of our senses have the ability to generate an emotional response. Be aware in daily life, just in the next week or so, how much of your sensory stimulation is positive? How much of it gives you good quality experience to put you in a higher quality state? The next one I like to do, actually personally, I think I do it more than the other ones, is stretching. When you take the time to stretch things like your back or your arms and your legs, breathing deeply, that gets your blood flow going and it restores your natural internal balance. If you have that activity and you take the time to slowly move, stretching yourself out, you calm your heart down, your lungs doing what they naturally do in a balanced and centered and healthy way, that restores you mentally and physically and emotionally. Okay, well, you know what? Sometimes you just need to take a walk around the block. You know what? Not even in the block, the building. Just leave the setting that you're in. Take a walk around something very close by. Again, keeping it under 10 minutes total. That would get your biochemistry in a very good state because it would tell your body, you know what, I'm going to be healthy right now. I'm going to do something productive and constructive and good for me. That would change your mindset. That would change your attitude. And it would improve and increase the quality of the interaction with the people that you even had as you were doing the walking. Because it would help you get relaxed and appreciate that, yeah, you need to invest in yourself. And our bodies are wonderfully made. Another one. Prayer or meditation. Now, you don't necessarily have to be religious in order to be spiritual. If you have that kind of activity where you know that you are doing something in a spiritual way, that is going to change how you are in a social and physical environment. How long should you take? How long does it take? Well, you know what? Again, that's personal. Ask yourself what your spiritual beliefs are. And if you do know these things, if you do have and do these things, how many of them are you comfortable with? And how frequently do you use this venue? Now, another one that I like too, just just because I'm an introvert, and so this is good for me. Positive social interaction, like fun or encouraging statements on a website or in a text message. Interacting with people in your life in a fun and positive way, just making a joke. I have this one person, this really important person in my life. He is not the most educated man, but he's really sweet. He will send me a text message, a video of something absolutely funny, and I do laugh out loud. And just having that laugh out loud experience makes me love him more. That changes my biochemistry. That affects how I interact with people as a result. And you know what? It's never more than 3 minutes. Of course, reading the text or responding might be another 2 minutes, but it's worth it to do something like that to get yourself to a higher state. Okay, well, looking at pictures. Do you have pictures in your phone? Some that stimulate positive emotions? Okay, they need to be non-pornographic. They need to be something healthy and calming and beautiful, right? Something that you can have visually stimulating your positive emotions, especially if it's about people. Remember, people are the key to your life, yours, mine, and ours. And pictures will always be something that matter to us. Now, finally, writing in a journal or a diary. This is kind of tough for some people because they just don't like to write. Well, but it might be important. Sometimes you don't get a voice recorder and just talk into it. If you don't necessarily have a paper and pen or a computer that you can start typing on, writing down your thoughts and feelings is very important because in the moment, you won't necessarily have the ability or the focus or the freedom to really reflect on what you're thinking and feeling. But if you write them down, if you record them, that will be getting a nice deep breath, getting it out, knowing that at some point later, when you have more than the brief 10 minutes to come back to those things, you will have a different and more healthy perspective. Today we've been talking about quality versus quantity. When you are a quality soul, you create a quality life. When you have a high quality life, you don't need an environment with a lot of material things. Quantity is not what matters for humans. That means that large portions of anything are not necessary. Accumulation of things is not important. When you are a high quality soul, you will then attract and create high quality relationships. That makes the whole world a better quality place. Thank you so much for listening today. My name is Gabrielle Cardona, and this is yours, mine, and ours.